Husker Doc Talk Podcast, 2017, Episode 7. The doctor is fresh off a short trip to San Francisco. That means Dr. Rob Zadiska has returned, refreshed, and energized. I'm Travis Justice. Dr. Rob will join us in a minute, but this is the Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. The Remington Trophy is presented annually to the nation's top center. Of course, it's named after former Husker great Dave Remington. Now in its 18th year, the Remington Trophy presentation will take place January 13th, 2018 at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. This event benefits the Boomer Esiason Foundation and the fight against cystic fibrosis. For event and ticket information, go to remingtontrophy.com. Dr. Rob, you've been all over the place since coming back from vacation. The Omaha World Herald Big Red Breakfast, the Suburban Omaha Rotary Club, now the studio.
I feel like I'm on like a press tour here.
You know, you and I were just having a conversation, and I have to agree with you. You believe that after playing on a national championship team, after playing 5 years in the NFL, you might be more popular now than when you played.
I do. You know, it's one of those things. I think a lot of it has to do with the media stuff. Between the you and I doing the Sports Sound Off TV show for
Which,
a bunch of years.
I mean, that was an 8-9 year run that we had.
It was, but then we did, you know, from a media standpoint, you know, 10 years from 10 years from now, all any people are going to rely on podcasts for everything.
I believe so.
I really do. I mean, from an information standpoint, from a news standpoint, nobody's going to want to sit down and watch the news. And I think to the extent that even television becomes almost obsolete, you look at where handheld devices, phones, et cetera, where that technology's going, I can't remember the last time I sent an email off of a desktop computer.
I mean,
I just don't.
I look at the number of downloads we get each and every week, and I want to thank everybody who downloads this podcast, listens to it, whether it's on iTunes, whether it's on Podbean, whether it's on Stitcher. We have a great time doing it, and we're going to get back to a more normal rotation. I can tell you that we're recording this on Thursday. The game is on Saturday. We'll be back to a Monday or Tuesday recording starting right after the Arkansas State game. We'll have a little bleep in the action. We'll continue to do it, but Rob and I got to figure out how to record because I'm going to be in Italy for a couple of weeks. So we'll be doing like Skype recordings and trying to upload it that way.
Usually we're doing this when I'm on the road somewhere.
Yes.
This will be a first time doing it in opposite.
Yeah, I'll be speaking to you somewhere in the middle of the Tuscan countryside in October.
With awesome food.
That's right. Very, very awesome food. But, you know, it's just great. And, of course, you can follow Dr. Rob on Twitter at DocTalkSports. He's been very active. And I do want to thank Michael Sevier from the Omaha World Herald. He had Dr. Rob out to the Big Red Breakfast today. He gave the podcast a little bit of love. So, Michael, thank you so much. Also, the Suburban Omaha Rotary Club. They talked. Rob talked to the group today about growing up Husker, basically growing up in the hometown of Lincoln and being a Husker.
Yeah, you know,
you just kind of got off track and said, "Well, I really didn't like sports, but I was a nerd."
Well, if you look at, you know, the Suburban Rotary Club, their big fundraiser, their big charity cause is library books. It's one of their big causes.
Okay.
They donate a huge number of books to local city libraries. And so from an educational standpoint, I think it was something that really kind of jived with their cause. But I was a complete nerd when I was a kid. Sports were something that took time away from me, I don't know, digging through a book, reading an encyclopedia, whatever.
You were not like me. I didn't like books. I didn't like anything that had to do with school. So if I was out playing wiffle ball, if I was out playing football, if I was out playing basketball,
it was all better.
It was a lot better than reading books, I'll tell you that.
I just did not see the point of playing kickball on a playground.
You know what I like doing now?
That means that we are drinking a beer. Drink a beer, everybody.
That's right. Of course, the Infusion Brewing Company is the official beer supplier of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Infusion Brewing is locally brewed craft beer with two locations in Omaha. The original at 6115 Maple Street in Benson, and the brewery and tap room located at 6271 South 118th Street in Southwest Omaha. Today, well, first of all, do you know what Dave Remington's one of his favorite events is?
Burning Man?
Burning Man would be it.
He didn't go this year.
He didn't go because he didn't get tickets. You know, Dave's gone like every year they've had.
They sell tickets.
Yes. Yes, now
it seems a little commercialized.
And that's what has happened to Burning Man. So Dave decided to take Burning Man off this year, and he's in Iceland, the last I checked. So Dave's...
I did see pictures that he posted to Instagram. He doesn't post a lot to Instagram, but I did see some that he had posted.
But today we are drinking the Burning Man IPA from Infusion Brewing, and it's Infusion Brewing's take on a New England IPA. Has four different hops in it to bring out the citrus flavors. But are you ready for this? A 6.8 alcohol percentage and 113 IBUs. So they can call it...
That's kind of an ass kicker on both numbers. That,
I mean, I don't even know if... You're a doctor. Does the palate even register 113 IBUs? I thought it stopped at like 90.
No, it does. I mean, you get up there. I mean, it can be... Okay, well, it's not like you're drinking this going, okay, this is worse than cough medicine, for God's sakes.
It's not. You know what it is? Because this, and I'm not an IPA
guy. It does. Now, within an IPA, it's got some bite, but we actually tried a couple of their IPAs today. There was the, what was it, the Kung Fu IPA?
Kung Fu Mustache, I believe it was.
The Kung Fu Mustache IPA. And that one, at least, I don't know what the IBUs were. Maybe they were less than this one. That one had more of a kind of that bitterness bite to it than this one does.
Let's be fair. You taste tested because they gave you the glasses and you just took one big shot. I never got
a taste
test.
That's because you saw IPU and you like, or I'm sorry, you saw IPA IBUs. You saw IPA and like tucked your tail between your legs and ran back to Iowa to drink a Bud
Light.
That's
not true because I've been starting to drink the IPAs on a regular basis. I just, the 113 is a little hoppy for me. But because it has that citrus on the back end, that really kind of helps me deal with the bitterness.
Gotcha. And if you've got that, which, I mean, this one, again, it's a pretty crisp IPA. It's got a little bit of that citrus zing to it at the end. I like that. It's not, again, it's one of those, I always liken it to somebody, the one a-hole at the chili cook-off or the one dickhead at the salsa contest. Who just empties a bottle of liquid capsaicin into their entry with the whole idea of winning the hottest whatever award. I hate the IPAs that they brew with, hey, let's see how much of a hoppy bitterness we can get into this and make people squirm in their seat as they taste it. I don't need that. I want that bite. I don't need to freaking turn my nose up at it, though. I mean, I want a little bit of that, but if you can kind of tone it down, whether it's with a little bit of citrus, you put a little sweetness in there, something to kind of cut that bitterness. And this has it. It's a pretty crisp beer. It still has those IBUs. It's still got the alcohol content that you look for in a classic IPA. But, you know, you've used the word drinkable. It's pretty drinkable.
Absolutely. And cheers to everybody as we get ready for game week in the first game of the season. Now, while you were gone, Dr. Rob, well, a couple of things before we dive into the Arkansas State game I want to talk about that happened. And the first was the Fox Sports promo that Nebraska's asked Fox Sports and the Big Ten Network to
take
down.
Did you see my tweet about it?
I did not.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. I thought it was creative.
It was kind of fun. It was totally fun.
Why do people get their panties in a wad over cornfields and children of the corn?
Here's the thing. I understand the whole
stereotype, but you know what stereotypes?
We're freaking Nebraska. We're the Corn Huskers. Corn is in the name of our. We're not, and I understand. It's like everybody wants us to be the Huskers. We're the Corn Huskers. I get it. I don't know. Here's the thing that kind of surprises me or gets me about this. At some point, somebody signed off on this.
Exactly.
Somebody from the sports info department said, this is awesome. Let's do it. Fox, fire away. Go do your thing. We love the idea. Somebody signed off on this, and then somebody else came along and said, yeah, corn, no. Now, I understand the original. Remember the Husker Hawkeye trophy? The Heroes game?
Yes.
They've got the Heroes game trophy now. I don't know what they call the damn trophy.
It's just the Heroes trophy.
It's a
stupid trophy.
Yeah,
it's a corporate rivalry.
It is. It's which, you know, if Nebraska and Iowa develop a rival, I like the broken chair rival.
Yes.
The trophy. That's the best one ever because it's got a freaking story behind it. The first trophy, like the trophy they use now is actually trophy number 2, I believe.
Is it?
It is. They came out with another one. And I guess literally it was like a gigantic ear of corn on the top of the trophy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And it basically looked like the Nebraska Cornhuskers corn hats.
Okay.
You know, not the cheese head. It's the corn head hat. It kind of looked like that turned into a trophy. And even that is one of those, okay, that's the cheesiest goddamn thing I think anybody had ever seen. And I think that trophy existed all of 90 days. And then I got replaced by the current one, which it's a little more tasteful. That being said, I still like the damn broken chair trophy.
Well, but I love the promo. I thought it was well done. And all I saw was were the diehards who would go on the company line and say, this hurts recruiting. There's no way that hurts recruiting. You're never going to sell me that.
Well, now here's the thing. I think if you've got somebody of the current generation. Now, when I was a kid, like the ultimate in horror movies, anytime a new Stephen King movie came out, when I was in junior high and high school, you'd always rush out to the theater to see it. New Stephen King book came out, and okay, I get it. I'm bookish. I'm a nerd. I like to read. When a Stephen King book came out, man, I was all over it. And you go back to Children of the Corn, which is a Stephen King book.
Yes.
I think if you're of our generation, basically anybody who was born between 1965 and 1985, you look at Stephen King and it's like, okay, that guy's just freaking demented. The stuff he writes is insane and it scares the shit out of people. Got the new It movie coming out.
That looks freaky.
Oh, I'm so there. Loved that book when I was a kid. It's the same kind of thing. I think people of our generation, you look at that promo and the very first thing you think was, oh my God, Children of the Corn, scariest thing ever. This is so badass. And I think everybody 25 and younger is looking at that, and all they see is corn.
I think 30 and younger.
Corn,
maybe 35 and younger.
You might be right. I would go 30. I would at least go 30 and younger. All they're doing, they're going corn. Corn.
Yeah, but I thought it was tastefully
high
done.
High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, but when they had the guys running through the rows.
It is, but I guess my thing is if you don't have Children of the Corn in your consciousness, you don't get it.
Okay. Maybe that's why you and I liked it.
That's my point is that you and I have Children of the Corn in our consciousness.
Yeah.
That was the book was 10, the story was 10 times scarier than the movie. And the movie was pretty freaking scary.
It was.
I mean, when I was a kid, that was one of those. Not only did your parent have to go, you needed like three adults for an under 17-year-old to go to that movie as a kid.
Because Stephen King horror films aren't like your Freddy Krueger's and your Friday
the
13th.
Good Guy doesn't win.
No.
Good Guy loses at the end of the Stephen King movies.
And the other thing that happened while you were gone, so you give it a thumbs up, but yet you understand why people are upset with you because you liked it.
I do, but again, I think, like I said, if you're 40 or older and you've got that Children of the Corn in your consciousness, you looked at, like, I was watching that promo. First time I watched it, the first thing that went through my mind, Children of the Corn, this is badass.
Yeah.
Moment I saw it, I was like, all I could think was Children of the Corn. And once that went through my head, I mean, the damn thing gave me goosebumps. I was like, oh, this is so badass. Then I see they're pulling it, and you start reading comments. Okay, well, why did they pull it? And it's because backlash, because people were upset about, okay, it's cheesy, you're stereotyping corn, the whole state's corn.
It is.
Okay, dude, you were just out to the sand
Well,
hill.
Because they
Come
can't
on.
They can't grow it there.
Well, yeah.
that's an agricultural problem there.
I would be willing to bet, I think statistically, more corn is actually grown in Iowa than Nebraska.
You would be correct, and I think Illinois, too. I think Illinois has more yield than both.
Yeah, and actually,
the farmers that listen to this show are going to correct us at some point.
Watch, and you want to see me really piss some people off? Best sweet corn I've ever had in my life was when we lived in New Jersey.
Ooh.
The entire state started out as one big swamp. So basically, you're planting sweet corn and peat moss. It grows well in that shit out there. Anyway, yeah, Nebraska, more beef than Iowa.
It is.
I'll just say that. But yeah, anyway, I was a little, I didn't get it. But like I said, I was from a generation that understood Stephen King and his idea of horror.
The other thing that happened while you were on vacation were the team captains were named. Your thoughts on...
But I got the email.
You did? So just let everybody know, since Rob is a football alum, you get kind of the updates from the athletic department, the football
department. They actually let us know when Frank Solich got fired and Pelini got fired. We actually got an update like an hour before the media.
Nice. I did not know that.
I'm totally bullshit.
Oh, see, gosh.
Can I have more beer?
Yes, you want more beer. Have you noticed? We haven't swore on this podcast for like 3 weeks in a row, and Rob has been drinking already in the afternoon, and he's dropped the GD line. He's dropped the S-bomb. You're just fired up. And now he's going for another big old glass of the Infusion Burning Man IPA.
It's a good IPA. I really like it. I'm more of a classic ale kind of guy. This is a really tasty IPA.
Your thoughts on the captains that were named, the guys?
I thought it was good. Now, and again, I'm a mild traditionalist when it comes to stuff where it's sort of the notion of, well, only seniors can be captains. Hey, I mean, you got some juniors in the mix. You got Gerald Foster, who is one of the offensive linemen. He's going into the season now as the starting left guard. Finished last season as the starting left guard. And he's a guy that I think from a talent standpoint and actually an attitude standpoint potentially is the best offensive lineman on that line. I thought he was a great selection. He's a kid who's got a huge amount of toughness. He came back from just a devastating knee injury last year, and I was shocked that he actually came back in season. I mean, I think he ended up started playing, I think, in the third or fourth, the last game of the season. Finished out the season as the starting left guard. The guy's a stud. He's got a huge heart, incredible amount of toughness. He might be the meanest SOB on that offensive line, and I love that about him. Plus, he's a Lincoln native.
The fact that Tanner Lee is only been, you know, he didn't play last year, and he's a captain now. That speaks volumes, doesn't
it's
it?
It's an interesting contrast to last year.
Yes.
When Tommy Armstrong, who is the four-year starting quarterback, was not named a captain. And, you know, we talked about this last year.
Have beer sitting
in,
folks.
I got to stop drinking. you and I talked about this last year in the sense of how big a deal of this is that Tommy Armstrong wasn't voted a captain. I kind of tried to downplay it, but I think it was a bigger deal than even I initially thought it was. And I think this year, the fact that Tanner Lee was voted a captain, you got a guy who was a transfer, had to sit out / redshirt last year, and is now going into the season by far and away as the starter at quarterback. I think Jebbia's would be an able backup. I think Patrick O'Brien would be a reasonable backup. But you've got a guy who, for whatever he did, he impressed people on the team. He impressed the teammates, and it might have been one of the... It's usually when you see a guy in this situation who's never played before, it's usually somebody who's got some serious chops when it comes to just innate leadership abilities and work ethic. And this is a guy who's probably just slogging away on a scout team last year and impressed the hell out of people playing on the scout team enough that he got voted captain.
Hey, don't forget the first game is on Saturday. I'm sure there's no need to remind you of that, and there's still plenty of time to get your last-minute Big Red shopping done at Husker Hounds. Shirts, hats, bags. Look over the new rules, folks, because you can bring some things into the stadium and you can't bring some things into the stadium. Scotty at Husker Hounds has a complete supply of game day accessories. 3 locations in Omaha and online at huskerhounds.com. And you can't go to the game if you don't have tickets. For 25 years, Ticket Express has been your Husker Tickets headquarters. Club seats are available for the Arkansas State game. Heading to Oregon next week, but still don't have seats to see the Huskers play the Ducks. Ticket Express has tickets in the Nebraska section so you don't have to feel like an outcast. TicketExpress.com is where to purchase. Also, if you want to go to Monday Night Raw at the CenturyLink Center in Omaha on Monday, Ticket Express can get you in. Again, TicketExpress.com. So the Wolves of Arkansas State come to town, Rob, out of the Sun Belt Conference. Nebraska's won 7 straight home games and has never, ever, 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 never, ever, 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 ever lost to a Sun Belt team. They're not going to lose on Saturday.
I don't think they are. Now, I think it's almost become fashionable when Nebraska plays a mid-major, a 1AA school, for people to predict a loss. And Bleacher Report's actually picking Arkansas State.
Are you serious?
Not kidding you. I actually just double went back and double checked. They still got the story up. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek article. I will give them that. That being said, they've got some guys. They went, was it 8-5 last year, I think. You've got a stat sheet.
I thought they were better than that. I got to have to go back. You know, we should.
They beat Scott Frost in the bowl game. Which, you know, I think Scott's doing, I think Scott's working miracles down there at Central Florida. I think he's going to be really, really good. Oh, I got it right. 8-5, 7-1 in the conference.
But that's the Sun Belt. It's not the Big Ten.
Okay, well, crap, Appalachian State beat Michigan.
Now, come on, don't go there. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but at the same time, too, with the talent spread, you can't. Here's the other thing. All I'm saying, you can't take teams lightly.
That's
true. I
think
Hanson's a great quarterback. He's got the best name ever, Justice Hanson.
I do like that name.
It's a great name, Travis.
So
which I think he's like one touchdown pass away from setting Arkansas State's all-time passing or touchdown pass record. They've got guys who can play football, and I don't think you should underscore that. They've got some really good athletes on defense. They got a returning quarterback, a returning stud at wide receiver. I can't even pronounce the dude's name, but they've got some really good players. Here's the thing: talent is spread around such now that you go back to say that McNeese State game a couple of years ago, that was 3 years ago now. You needed a miracle play by Amir Abdullah at the end of the game to bail Nebraska out.
Yeah,
that was McNeese State. They were 1AA. They're not even 1A. They're 1AA. And they're a good 1AA school. But it shows you how that gap between the divisions has closed over the years since that scholarship limit got dropped to 85. And, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. I was one of those guys when those scholarship limits went into effect. I didn't think it would change anything. And within the top 10, it hasn't. Alabama's still going to be Alabama. USC's going to be USC. Penn State, once they weather a storm, is going to be able to still get guys to come to Happy Valley. That being said, it spread the talent out way more than I ever thought it would, and I think way more than a lot of other pundits thought it would, too. And a team like Arkansas State's got some horses. Like I said, they've got some very good players on defense. I don't think it's going to be a major issue for him. I think the big question is going to be with a guy like Hanson at quarterback, who is a highly experienced quarterback. He's seen Nebraska before. How are they going to do in regards to going out and playing against this defense? Now, part of it is we've got a brand new defense. We've got a new defensive coordinator. We've got a second-year defensive line coach. We've got a new defensive backs coach. How are all of those changes going to come into play against a guy who, you know, it's not Ohio State. I get that. This isn't Florida. I get that. This isn't Brad Kaya at Miami. I get that. But it's a guy who is a well-coached, very experienced quarterback who's played in some big venues. He's played in major bowl games. I shouldn't say that.
I know what you're saying.
My point
here
is, you got a guy who's played in bowl games, for God's sakes. Foster Farms.
Going
bowl
back,
by
and
any means,
last but. Year was a good turnaround for Arkansas State because they had a miserable season the year before. But going back, I mean, Gus Malzahn, I would say, put Arkansas State on the map. I mean, Gus Malzahn went there after he resigned his offensive coordinator job with Gene Chizik, and then went and took the Auburn job. I mean, they've been on the map. Nebraska last played Arkansas State. I remember being at that game. I think it was back in 2009, and it was a 38-9 game. I remember it, but this is a game Nebraska should win. It's a game Nebraska will win. My question...
I think the spread's what? It's 14, and it's actually been dropping.
Because it's one of those bets where you're like...
And I get it. Vegas moves the line based on who's betting and who they're putting money on. So I get that, but Vegas is also pretty smart. And that initial spread, I think it started at 16.
So
and then it dropped to 15, then it was 14.5. It's now 14.
Okay.
But that initial spread, basically it's a 2-touchdown win for Nebraska. It's not like they're making Nebraska a 30-point favorite here.
So when you look at this game, how nervous, A, do you get as a player, even if you've experienced, you still get nervous for...
You mean like a guy currently playing for Nebraska or me as a former player?
No. A current player. So if you're a current player, did you get nervous all 4 years?
Now or when I played for
Nebraska? When you played.
When I played?
Yes. You are drunk.
No, we didn't get nervous.
You didn't. No. I'm just trying to think. Do you get nervous going through that? I mean, the first game jitters. You never got any first game jitters.
When I was a redshirt freshman, I did because I had never played in a game.
But after that, even after having the whole season off and just that first adrenaline rush, you didn't have any first game jitters.
No. Or for God's sakes, you're having to butt heads against Christian Peter and Terry Keneally in practice every day.
Okay.
That's Perella, fair. Raymakers.
That's fair. I'll
Grant
give you that.
Wistrom.
Do you worry at all about this team looking past Arkansas State and to Oregon?
I don't think so, and the reason is I think Arkansas State has received a reasonable amount of hype coming into this game. I think these guys are regarded as a pretty decent football team.
A decent opener.
It is. I get it. It's the Sun Belt, but at the same time, too, it's not a 1AA school. And I think some of these mid-majors, I think people have grown to really respect over the years. It's kind of like the Boise State effect. And I get it again also, it's not Boise State, but I think a lot of the mid-major schools have kind of gained a lot of respect, and I think people have learned not to take them lightly. Now, I know that Oregon game's kind of looming on the horizon. If Nebraska goes out to Eugene and loses to Oregon, you know, worst case is, as Nebraska players and as fans, you walk out of it going, okay, we had a 2-game series with Oregon, and it finished 1-1, which honestly I think it's going to finish 2-0. But I think Nebraska's got a good chance to beat Oregon and Eugene. I think Nebraska's. I don't think they're going to lose to Arkansas State. I think they're going to beat them by more than what the spread is. I think it's going to be a 17-point, a 21-point win. But I don't think you take them lightly. And I think that McNeese State game from a few years ago is a great example that on any given day somebody can come in and bite you in the ass and pull the whole Appalachian State over Michigan upset.
So it's year number 3 for Mike Riley. How much pressure is he under? How big of a year is this for Mike Riley?
You know, there's pressure.
Seven wins doesn't fly. You know, I have them at 10 wins, but there are publications that have them.
We talked about this earlier. I think I had them at 9.
Yeah, but there are publications that have them at 6.
Yeah, there's
and
some
7.
There's some I've seen 6 and 7.
So now, let's say those guys are right. How big of a year is this for Mike Riley?
I think it's a big year, but I think the fact that he's been willing to make changes,
I'd agree,
has bought him time. And I think from an administrative standpoint, refreshing is not the right word. For this beer, it is. It's a refreshing beer. but it actually might be an okay word. I think from an athletic department, from a university administrative standpoint, it's almost kind of refreshing. I mean, think about Bill Callahan. God, they put up, there was 1 week they put up 6 touchdowns against Kansas. Let's say 1 week. 1 year, and this is when Kansas had Mangino, they had Todd Reesing at quarterback. Nebraska put up 6 touchdowns against Kansas and lost by over 3 touchdowns.
I was there. That was at Lawrence.
It was. It was like 76-42 or
something. Wasn't that the game where That's the most passion I think I ever saw out of Bill Callahan when in the postgame when he said for a Nebraska team to play like that is just god awful. I mean, he was livid after that.
You want to know the goofy thing? It wasn't the Nebraska team. His offense put up 6 touchdowns. They put up like 500 yards of yardage.
But see, I see where you're going here.
It was his defense,
which he refused to fire.
He refused to make a change. And everybody I've ever known that has ever known Kevin Cosgrove said the guy's a stud. Said he is the greatest guy on the planet. Was it Barrett Root or Bo Root we had on the show? We had Barrett Root on the show when we did Sports Sound Off. I love talking to Barrett, commercial breaks and before and after the show. And the reason is because he was a guy who spent part of his career under Solich, part of his career under Callahan. Had Bo Pelini as a defensive coordinator. I mean, he basically played for 3 of Nebraska's head coaches in a 3-year span. I mean, it was insane. He said to this day, Kevin Cosgrove's a guy that if he saw him walking down the street, he'd walk up to him and say, hey, let's go grab a beer and hang out. He said, as a person, he was one of the best people he had ever known in his life. He also said, as a coach, it shocked him that the guy still had a job as a coach at any level. And Callahan refused to pull the trigger and fire the guy. Callahan probably lost more jobs due to Bill Callahan. I think there's a huge number of college football coaches who have lost jobs due to their reluctance to fire an assistant. And I appreciate that loyalty. I kind of have a hard time arguing against it, except that I think when you look at Mike Riley, I bet Riley has bought at least 1, if not 2 years onto whatever his time at Nebraska is. I bet he's added 1 to 2 years to it on nothing other than the fact that the administration's looking at him and saying, hey, this guy's willing to make changes. He's willing to make changes that the fans want to see, that the administration wants to see. He's willing to make changes to try and make this a better program. And you look at the guys he's fired, it's people that have been with him for years.
Well, you and I, when he was first hired, our biggest concern was the nepotism that went along with all the guys that he brought along.
Okay, but that goes with everybody. Name any coach who doesn't do that.
That's fair.
Callahan, I'd give you that. Callahan didn't have that as much because it was sort of a...
The only guy he brought with him was Jay Norvell from the Raiders, I believe.
Yeah, and that was a total... Within the season of coaching hires, that was an off-season hire. I mean... He was looking for a job. Nebraska desperately needed somebody. I mean, that was a total patchwork job thrown together. Most of the time when you hire a head coach, they're going to bring 3 to 5 guys with them.
Yeah.
At any level, high school, college, NFL, it's always you get the same crew. That was Paul Johnson, now at Georgia Tech. He was at Navy when Nebraska fired Bill Callahan.
Yes. A lot of people thought Paul Johnson was a candidate.
He was a candidate. And one of the stipulations
was keeping
Paul
Sean Watson.
Johnson had. Paul Johnson wanted to bring his entire staff en bloc, no changes, with him to Lincoln. He got offered the job. I know this.
Really? Keep going.
Paul Johnson got offered that job.
Ahead of Bo Pelini.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to get in trouble.
That's fine. Keep going. I love it when you drink.
I'll probably not get fired for my job.
That's true. But I love it when you drink, so keep drinking.
Anyway, Paul Johnson was offered the job. And he had, I mean, everybody was looking at, oh my God, we're going to bring back the option to Nebraska. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. He wanted to bring his entire staff en bloc to Lincoln. And the administration at the time was like, well, we kind of like some say on a couple of these spots. There's a few guys we'd like to have stay on. And then looking at guys like Ron Brown, Turner Gill potentially, et cetera. And Paul was like, hey,
Ron wasn't part of Callahan's staff. He came back. under Bo.
And I think that I think they wanted at least the option to bring those guys back.
I get that.
There's the alcohol talking.
That's fine.
I do know Paul Johnson got offered the job. I think one of the stipulations that Paul Johnson had was his entire staff from Navy has to come with him. And he was like, nah, I can't do it.
Interesting.
Now, who is the guy at Wake Forest?
That would have been Jim Grobe, who just was at Baylor for a year.
Gotcha.
So Jim Grobe was, and he was, I remember they talked to him. I don't know if he was a serious candidate or not. He wouldn't have been a good fit at Nebraska. I
don't think he would have, but I think they talked with him enough, and I think Grobe actually had the same stipulation as well, too, that if he came, his whole staff from Wake Forest had to come. But I think that killed those two guys as candidates.
Interesting. So what do you want to see out of Nebraska? Let's start with defense against Arkansas State. Defensively, what do you want to see against Arkansas State? Because they're running that 5-2, right?
5-2, 3-4.
Same
whatever
thing.
You want to, I think of it as the same thing. So
that's why I said
I'm
it
I'm sure
that
there's
way.
Pundits out there that are going to correct me, but in my mind, it's the same thing. Honestly, I'd like to see them line up in their base 3-4 and not have to do anything crazy, not have to blitz like gangbusters. I'd like to see them run a very basic 3-4 and be able to shut Arkansas State down with that. If they've got to start doing some funky stuff, start bringing blitzing from all over the place, start showing stuff that I think Diaco would maybe like to hold back for a week, I think that's when you start getting into trouble. If they've got to start pulling out all the stops to stop a Sun Belt team, which I talked before, I think Nebraska beats them. I don't think this is going to be a loss. I think they need to take them seriously, and I think they are. But if Nebraska's in a position where they've got to pull out all the stops to beat Arkansas State, I think then we've got a problem.
How about offensively? It's going to be a different looking offense with Tanner Lee at quarterback. I mean, the dynamics of having Tommy Armstrong gone.
It is. And
that.
What I think we'll see and what I would like to see maybe two different things. I would like to see a clean passing game. And that's something Nebraska hasn't had since, God, we're talking back to, well, geez, when Joe Gans was there, probably.
Maybe.
Lee before that. I mean, it's been a while. And Pelini used kind of more of a spread option type offense and liked that.
Because that's what people wanted. And plus he came from the Southeastern Conference. But remember, people were sick of the West Coast offense. They wanted to see the spread. He gave them
kind of... You know, if the West Coast offense was winning 10 to 12 games a year, people would love the damn thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And that's why people have such a fondness for the run game and the spread and for the option game is because we won an insane number of games with it.
But you know why you won an insane number of games?
O-line.
Athletes. You had better players. You had better players than everybody you lined up against.
We talked about this at the Big Red Breakfast this morning.
Oh, did you now?
Well, we touched on the fact that, you know, and we've talked about this on here, that in the in the 4 years I played, I can even subtract the redshirt year. In the 4 years I played with three different Outland Trophy winners, a Lombardi winner, and a Butkus winner. And those were five different guys. You couldn't walk through the locker room without tripping over a major award.
And winner. You should have been with a Heisman winner. I mean, say what you want, but Tommy or Lawrence would have won it in 95.
We had 94, we had between Lawrence and Zach Wieger, we had two top 10 Heisman Trophy vote getters.
Yeah.
Tommy in 95, there's three Heisman Trophy vote getters. Will Shields was like ninth in the Heisman Trophy voting. So there's four Heisman Trophy vote getters that I played with in college.
You know, against Arkansas State, where do you want to see the pass run? 60-40 run, 60-40 pass, 50-50?
Like to see about 50-50.
Really?
Here's my thing. You want to see a clean passing game. What you don't want to do if Nebraska gets into this Bill Callahan mode where you're seeing them stepping back and trying to throw the ball. Let's say you get 70 offensive snaps in a game. If they're throwing the ball 55 times, we're in trouble. That's because that means we've got no run game whatsoever. And I, you know, one of the docs I work with, he and I were talking this afternoon about the fact when you look at Nebraska's run game, his question was, how do you think it's going to be at least compared to last year? And I said, I'm a little worried about it because one of the things that Tommy Armstrong did provide was another run option. He could drop back to pass. And if everything broke down, there was always the chance he was going to take off and scramble for 15 yards. And that was something you had to be aware of and something you had to account for as a defense. Tanner Lee's not going to scare anybody with his running ability.
Interesting. Hey, before we go, I just want to say I was out at North Ortho Nebraska. My son had surgery out there. He wanted you to knock him out, but you were on vacation. But the care and the level of expertise at Ortho Nebraska, second to none.
It is
a
good group of people. Dr. Arnold does great work out there.
You know, everybody, and he did my son's surgery in like 15 minutes. The dude doesn't waste any time. He's a Miller North grad. I didn't want to hold that against him, you know, and he went to Vanderbilt, which means he's really smart.
But when you're that good, that's the kind of people that place attracts. It's good people.
So I just want, you know, my son had knee surgery, and I just want to say thanks to Ortho Nebraska. They did a great job. Dr. Rob, you got some more beer to drink. If you can't tell throughout this podcast, Dr. Rob really enjoys beer, and really good beer from Infusion Brewing Company. This has been the Remington Trophy Husker Doc Talk Podcast. Don't forget the Remington Trophy presentation coming up January 13th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. Get your tickets at RemingtonTrophy.com. We'll be back early next week for a recap of the Arkansas State game and a look towards the Oregon game right here on the Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.